Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everybody. Congratulations on not killing yourselves. You did it. You survived. Earth is a very hard planet, and I'm really impressed with you. Welcome to the Voices in Our Heads. I am honored to be the current voice in your head. I had a drum lesson earlier today, and great news, guys. I found out that I can absolutely play Chop Suey. Oh my God, I've been dying to play that song. That is the coolest song to drum to. Oh, fuck. I mean, you can't, that's not how, I drum better than that. But yeah, I'm on a high from that. I have a very busy day today and it's very high stress. And I'm like, woo, this is where I function normally. That's not healthy. It's not healthy. So my Amazon affiliate list is up. Linktree.com/Christina Hutch. Christina Hutch is also my social media handles on all the things. And you should follow me and then get that. So I got on my Amazon affiliate list, I got those whore boots that I wear all the time. Two pairs. They're on there. People always be asking me where you get the boots. And they're cheap. They're cheap. So give me some commission on that. And then some beauty products that I use that I really love. Hair, all my hair stuff. And get that on Amazon. Who knew? A lot of the books that I've purchased, Life-Changing Books, I think is the title of the collection. So yeah, all the stuff that I purchased on Amazon that I really love that people ask me about is on that affiliate link, linktree.com/Christina Hutch. Okay. Give me that money, honey. Cause all my money is gone. It just feels like all I do is watch clips of myself. It's all I do. That can't be healthy to just watch clip. Like, and I know I get myself into this, but I also blame people that we have to do video for podcasting. Never going to give that up. I'm just going to bitch about that all the time. But it's a lot. It's a lot of watching myself. And I'm like, I love myself. I think great. But Jesus Christ, it's too much. It's too much. I'm realizing as I get older, I've kind of known this for a while. I am way too comfortable crying anywhere. And I mean anywhere. I'll cry just about anywhere. I'll cry, of course, in public. I'll cry at events. I'll cry on the subway. There's a lot of things you could do while crying that maybe people don't know about. For example, going to a daytime dance party/pizza party. You can cry during that. When I was in my year of depression and scream crying in the morning, which is never a good sign, I'm like, oh man, the day didn't even happen yet. I'm already scream crying. One day I went to my friend Donna, curated this daytime pizza party/dance party. And I was like, girl, you just got to get out of the house, Christina. Just what? And I would literally lift one leg up and then lift the other leg up with my hands. And I went to that dance party and I was dancing while crying. I didn't have a drink because poof, when I'm sad or mad, ain't no alcohol entering my body because that's going to make it way worse. But yeah, I was at her dance party and I was just like, this is really fun. Thanks for making this happen. She's like, you should go. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Which brings me to the next thing you could do while crying is riding a city bike over the Brooklyn Bridge. That's fun when it's cold out because your tears get really super cold. And you're like, well, at least there's a sensation. You know, it's always humbling when the construction workers working on the bridge look at you as you're crying with your city bike. And they're like, are you okay? Like a man who's never been to therapy, but clearly recognizes somebody in distress. That's a wake up call. You could cry while you masturbate. I don't think I've ever done that. I wouldn't put it past me, though. You could do it, guys. Don't let crying stop you from living. If you're going to cry, you can cry it out. Okay? Someone once said to me, Christina, you don't have to always react so intensely to everything. And I was like, you don't fucking know me? What the fuck does that mean? Wait, expand on that. That sounds interesting. Go on. I'll never not react to everything. I have the temper of a man, which is, it's real off-putting when you're a woman, you know? There's no Happy Madison with a female character, but I'm going to change that. I'm going to change that. I will say, a couple signs of progress. Because, you know, you go around, you're like, oh, this is how I feel. Like, one of the things was, I'm pretty sure I'm not afraid to die. When I think about it, I'm like, you know, I'd love to not die until later. But I know that if it comes, it comes. Like, my fear of flying was really the fear of the moment when everybody knows the plane is going down. Who's horny, right? And you know, you're going to die in like a matter of seconds or a minute. And that was the scariest part of flying for me. And I would scream, cry while flying in the plane. So I add that to the list. But now I'm like, if that moment ever did happen, I'm not going to be happy about it. And I probably won't be like calm and serene, but I'm like, it's okay. You know, it's probably not even going to hurt, because all the stories I read about people that die in horrific ways and then their loved one gets a reading with a medium and the person communicates. They're like, I was out of my body before I could feel that pain. And I was like, well, that's good to know. That's good to know. So that fear of dying got tested this week. The elevators in my building, that's a big thumbs down. They don't work and they're very scary. And a lot of times the fire department has to come and get you out. They have to pry the elevator door open. And
did you get stuck in the elevator?
So I didn't get stuck. It was way worse.
Oh, no.
I was on the elevator with Kevin by myself and it dropped.
No.
Like 5 floors.
Oh, no.
It was awful. And then it went crash. Like, so
it dropped. Wait,
so
oh
like
my
floor
God.
18. And then it landed me on floor 15. And then the doors open. I'm like, well, I'm getting the fuck out. I'm not going to. What the fuck is this? But while we were falling, I'm like, all right, this is how I'm going to go. And I love you, Kevin. And you know what I got to say? If I got to die prematurely, I'd love to do it with my dog. I don't want any of us to experience pain, but someone there is a little helpful. My instinct was like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's a little dramatic, but also fair. But I was like, well, and I immediately was like, okay, if this is it, then it's okay. I accept it. And I'm like, oh my God, I am so unafraid to die. Yay. And then I went downstairs to the front desk. There's a front desk guy in my building that I call Dora Daddy because he's super handsome. And I was running up to tell Dora Daddy that you got to cancel that. You got to take that elevator out of commission. It was a weekend. And as I was approaching the desk, there was a woman with a baby in a stroller, like very visibly freaked out. And she was like, I was just in the elevator and it dropped. I'm like, I was just in the elevator and it dropped, dude.
Same elevator?
Same elevator.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No.
Because she had a kid with her. That poor child. He was like 4. He looked okay, but, you know, I feel bad for that kid. And I need to renew my lease. I'm procrastinating so hard on that. And they're trying to charge me like $800 to $1,000 more a month.
They sure are.
And I ain't playing that game. No. You cannot. Every time I get in the elevator. Now, this isn't exactly true because I'm not afraid to die, but I'm not going to let them know that. I don't. How dare you raise my rent when I got to fucking wait sometimes 15 minutes to get downstairs? And I can't. I mean, I can take the stairs, but it's 26 flights. And I've done it. I've done the stairs up and I've done the stairs down. And I got to say, I have a pretty good attitude about it because it is a good workout and I do appreciate that. However, I wouldn't complain about any of this if you weren't raising my rent. Because you're raising my rent, fuck you. These elevators don't work. They're scary. I could potentially develop a really crazy anxiety condition over the elevators, maybe, because I've had to get pried out of one. I didn't, but they don't know that. So maybe I'm going to lie about that a little bit or exaggerate or maybe lead them on to believe that maybe perhaps I've gotten stuck in an elevator. And then I have now an anxiety disorder. Can I sue for that? I'm not going to, but if that's what it takes to get my rent not raised.
There's now a record of you scamming it on.
I mean, look, podcast. if they listen to this, I will blast the building that I live in and let everybody know not to live there. Okay. So don't you worry. I got ways. So yeah, if you're listening to this, anybody that works there, that's weird. Also, if you're listening and you happen to work there, I'm not gonna tell you the name of my building, but that means you're a fan. So help me out.
I can tell you what though, if I may interject.
Absolutely.
Not the elevator situation, but this same situation happened to me. That's why I moved out of your neighborhood.
You moved out.
Because it was.
Did you try to fight it?
Yeah, they did nothing for me.
So our
different building, obviously, they were like a couple buildings apart from.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did nothing. And I had a case too where they had like shut down the gym and like all the cool amenities and stuff. that they like told me that I was going to be able to use. They were like, you don't have any of the stuff now.
Yeah.
And then they renovated it. And then they came back to me and they were like, it's going to be an extra $350 a month to live here for your next lease. I was like, fuck
what
this.
The fuck?
I'm out of here.
So one thing I know is that my friends, Casey and Robbie, live in my building.
Yes.
They have a gorgeous apartment. And their rent was raised $1,000. And they were like, what the fuck? And they were like, this sucks. And they were like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And so they didn't renew. Their apartment came back on the market for the exact rent they were already paying.
Yeah.
So they called the leasing office and they were like, hey, bitch, caught ya.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, yeah, you can pay the same. So I'm like, well, do that for me. I'm petty though, too. Like if there's an apartment that's equivalent to the one I'm already living in, that's the same amount of money, do not punish me for continuing to live in the building and then give me a lower rate for another apartment. You suck. You suck. I don't like you. And my temper is going to come out, and that's not going to help my case. So I have to be really good at this conversation because the thing is, I need to be making more money. And if I moved in with my boyfriend, I could actually save so much money.
That's why people do it.
I know.
I know you guys, you and Corinne will talk about this all the time and be like, oh, we just want two different spaces.
But the reason
why people do it is because it saves, it cuts your rent in half.
Yeah. And to be honest, like my boyfriend is so lovely to be around. He really doesn't annoy me. And I'm so impressed by that. His nature is just, it's really lovely and he has a gentle nature to him. So it's not that. I'm honestly more afraid that he's going to not like me after this. But the smart thing to do is to move in with him. And I know he wouldn't mind because that's something we've been talking about. And the money I would be able to save is kind of astronomical because I would just get a storage unit, put all the stuff in there. That way his place isn't too crowded. And that's fine. I mean, that's definitely something I would do. I just have to mentally prepare for it. But yeah, I really don't want to though. I really don't want to. And then when moments like this happen, I get so mad at my parents again for not allowing me because I did it. But at the same time, it's like your parents are supposed to give you a little guidance. The way that they didn't even hesitate when I was like, I could pay for half of the house all cash. And they're like, okay, great. They weren't even a little like, is this sure yourself? What about getting a mortgage? What about, you know, because then I would, if I got a mortgage instead of giving them, and I'm going to tell you the amount because I don't have it anymore, $400,000. All cash, dude. All cash.
What happened with that house?
That was so fucking dumb. They live in it and I can't use it. It's a beach house. It's a block away from the beach. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath or 2-bath. Beautiful beach house in a gorgeous beach town. And one of the things I was looking forward to was, yes, parking your money in real estate, especially that neighborhood, is like a good investment because it's certainly increased in value since we got it before the pandemic.
Beachfront, yeah.
And that's so good. But like, I was so excited to like, we had a deal where, you know, a couple weeks out of the year, my parents were like, we'll pack up and go away and you can have parties there. You could stay there by yourself. You could do whatever you want. And I was like, well, that's fun. I got a beach house, but now I have no money and no beach house, but all my money's in this beach house that I will not step foot in. And I think that my parents probably would allow I'm talking to them. I'm pretty sure if I was like, hey, DJ, I really want to stay at the beach house for a couple of days. Can you communicate that? I'd probably email them, honestly. And then I imagine they would say yes. I don't want to be in that fucking house because my mother I was just informed after a 3-hour conversation with my brother. I was just informed that my mother has 3 more boxes of my stuff to give me. And the boxes over the past 2 years, it's all my childhood shit and all photos of me, like all these family photos that I'm in, they just gave to me. I'm like, well, I don't want this either. And also, come on, man, that's so lame. You don't want any of my childhood shit? You don't want it? You try to erase the memory of your daughter because you're not mature enough to have an actual conversation with her so we can get to from point A to point B? I don't want to have a conversation with you guys either, but you're the adults. Yes, I know I'm technically an adult as well. But you're the parents. Act like a parent and be like, hey, honey, I must have done something to upset you so much that you didn't want to talk to us. And I'm really sorry for that. Can I get a better understanding of why you're so mad? That would be such a gift. But I, you know, I gave up hope on that. I'm just like, damn, all that money. That's so, and then I had to pay taxes. I know, I keep talking about it, but Jesus, every time I come up against a financial wall, because my overhead is so expensive. The guys who fuck studio, the guys who fuck editor, the guys who fuck producer, the like, it's just all so much money. And I don't have a chance to save anything. And I'm still paying that tax on that 400K. Still got payment plan on that. Your girl in a long-term relationship with the IRS. But anyway, I'm not afraid to die, so that's cool. Another great...
After you laid all that out, how could you be
afraid to die? Well, the other thing, too, is and this is a rare kind of gift. I don't know that everybody has this gift, but I know for a fact that I have already experienced the worst breakup I will ever go through. Mm. No one will hurt me as bad as both of my parents. So come at me, bro. I'm fucking invincible, bitch. You can't hurt me. You can, but I'll get over it, you know? So that's kind of cool, I guess. That's really neat. Another sign of progress that I experienced, again, in the elevators of my building. A lot happens there. A lot of waiting. I was getting off the elevator with Kevin. No, I was just with myself. Oh, yeah, because I was on the way to New York Comedy Club. And I'm working on writing my new hour of stand-up. I'm really loving where this is going because I get to talk about things. I always try to talk about my parents and stuff, but I get this awe reaction from the audience, or I feel it from them. I'm like, okay, it's not the audience, it's me. I need to figure out how to deliver this differently because I think it's funny and I'm healed. So I need to make sure that's communicated. Anyway, so I was thinking of like how I want to restructure my set, and I was very deep in thought on the elevator, and I was exiting the elevator. A woman was getting on and she had two dogs. One was on that leash that retracts, and her one dog, this cute little black poodle and a cute ass sweater. I was so deep in thought that when I went to get out of the elevator, one of her dogs, the leash was kind of blocking my legs to get out. And the woman was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I didn't say it's okay. I just didn't say anything, but I was smiling at her dog. She couldn't see that. And then because I didn't say anything, I hear her go, "Geez, fuck you, bitch." And the old me would have ran back to that elevator, held it open, and gone, "What the fuck did you say to me, bitch?" And I would have lost it. I don't think I would have gotten violent. Maybe she would. She was mad. But instead of having that reaction, I was genuinely like, "Oh, shit, she was talking to me. Oh, she thought I was being a cunt, but I wasn't." So if I see her again, I'll just let her know, "Hey, just so you know, you might have gotten the wrong vibe for me, because when you said, fuck you, bitch, I was smiling at your dog. I was just deep in thought." And I wasn't even an iota of angry. Thank you. Thank you. I know. It's really big. It's a really big deal. It's a really big deal. I didn't even get mad for a second. I'm like, "Oh, she's in her own world. I'm in my own world. That's okay." We're all wearing spacesuits with those helmets on, and all of our thoughts and all of our perceptions and all of the things, it's contained within that helmet. I can't help it if your helmet is volatile at the moment and mine isn't. That's okay. It happens. I'm not going to get pissed about it. But man, the old me would not have liked that. Oh, I would have found out what apartment she lived in. I don't know what I would have done with that information. Maybe ding dong ditch. That'd be fun. Although the elevators take so long to come that I probably couldn't hide soon enough. Okay, so this woman DM'd me because I was asking for quotes that changed your perspective on things. She said, "Hi, just listened to episode 109 and wanted to give the advice I heard when I was 16. It really helped me because I have dyslexia and I was unaware of this until I was 21. That blows. Man, that stinks. I remember when I found out like ADHD when I started reading it, and I'm like, oh, that's why I wasn't able to read a single book in middle school or high school. And I spark noted literally every single book except Catcher in the Rye, because I was in love with my teacher and he was really excited to hear my thoughts on that. And I was so excited that he was excited. Yeah, you bet I read every damn page, but it took a long time because I would read a chapter and go, I don't know what I just read. And then I'd have to read it. And then by the third time I read it, I'm like, okay, I think I retained it. But when I found out the ADHD thing, I'm like, oh, I'm not stupid. Cool. Silly people ask questions. Stupid people don't. Now that's a good quote. This helped me not be so embarrassed when needing clarification in school. That's a great quote. Silly people ask questions. Stupid people don't. I love that. I ask a lot of questions. And yes, there are some dumb questions. Sure. But maybe you got to realize, oh, that question was kind of dumb. That's okay. You know, like it's okay to ask a dumb question. It's okay to ask a smart question. Yeah, I got got by my parents. I got got. I had to take a walk yesterday. I was at Collins and we were doing a little co-working and I was trying to move money around. I have so many invoices that are not paid yet. Woohoo! And I have to wait until I get paid, hopefully by tomorrow. But it was in that moment where I was like, I am so angry at my parents. And then, I forgot about this part. I remember years ago, I was talking to my dad and the roof needed to be replaced. And I was like, oh, do you need money for the roof? And it's not his fault, but he was like, yeah, don't. And then he said, don't tell your mom. And I gave him 10 grand. And I'm like, what the fuck, Christina? It's really insane how much money I just freely gave to them. And I understand that the beach house is an asset of mine, but I'm not going to be able to see. I've tried to get that money out and said, hey, maybe I can mortgage my half of the LLC. I don't care if you like it or not. Sorry. And I've tried. And the interest rates are too astronomical that the banks are like, we're not even going to try. No. I'm like, what the fuck? If I could just have 10 grand of that 400, please, God, you know, it's rough. It's rough. All right, guys, let's do this. So I'm going to read part of chapter one of Supercharged Self-Healing, a revolutionary guide to access high frequency states of consciousness that rejuvenate and repair. Mike, maybe you can use this to help your sinus infection.
Let's see.
We'll see. I mean, you gotta read the whole book to really get a grasp of it. But I'm going to read the first couple pages of chapter one. This is coming out. So this episode is being released on a Monday. I believe, do you usually release them by 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Okay. For sure. So I'm going to record the rest of this chapter at my house and upload it. So by the time you have this episode out, you can go to my Patreon, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. It's just a $5 a month level. Your girl made some mistakes financially and she has a very bad relationship with money. And I'm really working on repairing that. Now that I've gone through my emotional layers, I can address the money thing, which I've been meaning to do for 8 years. And yeah, but there's a $5 a month level. It's called Just Here to Listen. Now, not only are you going to get the extra readings from this chapter, and then all the readings that I'm going to be doing in the future of any book, I'm going to do that on Patreon as well. But you also have a back catalog of group Sherapy sessions that you can listen to. There's a couple dozen probably at this point now. So you have a lot to listen to. It's not just this. And you could sign up for a free trial. $5 a month. That's not a lot. That's not a lot at all. That's all I ask. I'm just a girl who's made a lot of financial mistakes, whose money's tied up in a beach house that I'll never be able to use until my parents pass away, which is really bleak. And I'm just asking you to pay me $5 a month on patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson so that maybe I can recuperate my taxes and my money and my dignity. I know it's my fault. It's not yours. You don't have to do it. I'm not asking. I am begging, but that's okay. I'm not afraid to get hurt. All right, chapter one. I was reading this chapter last night in preparation. It's so good. It's so good. Chapter one is called Understanding the Invincible Total You. My body is paralyzed, but what I am is not. Girl, good for you, RJ. I was going to call you OJ. This was the realization that allowed me to transcend limitations and enter a state of consciousness where I knew how to heal myself. In the spring of 2016, I was diagnosed with spinal subdural staphylococcus, abscess, a lethal infection that compressed my spine and permanently paralyzed my body from the chest down. Ooh, cute. At the time, there were only 65 reported cases of this condition, and nobody who'd had it had regained full mobility, and nearly all had died. All right. So we're facing bleak circumstances. Love it. I was diagnosed by the hospital's endocrinologist with type 1 diabetes, pancreatitis, Hashimoto's autoimmune disease, and hyperthyroidism. Dude, this sucks. I also experienced a condition called autonomic dysreflexia, AD, which is something that occurs most commonly with people who have a spinal cord injury above the sixth thoracic vertebrae. My symptoms included congestion, nasal congestion that made breathing erratic and extremely difficult, sudden and uncontrolled spikes in blood pressure, together with a rapid heartbeat and constricted blood vessels, increased my risk of having a stroke, cardiac arrest, loss of consciousness, and other life-threatening events. Dude, if this happened, I get sad when I get a cold. If this happened to me, I have to do so much more work to get to the place where this could happen. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. But it is really helpful to be made aware of an example of some dude who's literally on death's doorstep, not even flinching, going, all right, we're going to fix this. Like that. Good for you, RJ. From the perspectives of the medical professionals, things looked bleak. I was told that if I survived, I would never walk again and would absolutely need several medications for the rest of my life. Good thing I didn't listen. Yeah, good fucking thing, RJ. When my neurosurgeon told my partner at the time, Jennifer, the infectious disease doctor, and me about the chest down paralysis being permanent, I was completely calm. Again, I would be so dramatic and devastated. I would ask to go on, well, I couldn't go on walks because I'm paralyzed. I would ask a nurse to wheel me up and down the hospital corridors just so I could scream cry so everybody could hear it so I could feel like a victim. It's not cute. Instead of feeling horrified at what the expert told me, I was free. God bless you, RJ. I was experiencing what lies beyond samadhi, a term used to describe the transcendence of the cycles of birth and death. I was in a state of grace and total liberation from the human condition. That's all I want, RJ. That's all I fucking want. I was free from any misperceptions, misunderstandings, misidentifications. Instead of feeling like a prisoner in an immobile and diseased body, my consciousness took flight. I was completely detached from the prison of the infinite mind and physical body. In this state of cosmic consciousness, I instantaneously knew how to heal myself. And the first thing I said to Jennifer was, I will walk again. And even if I don't, I'm at peace with everything. Jesus Christ, the amount of work it would take for me to not be dramatic about that is just so vast. In that moment, even though she was worried and overcome with grief, she didn't doubt that I'd do what I vowed to do. Today, I have conquered permanent paralysis and the myriad of health issues that have been resolved. But far more importantly, I am free. Yeah, bitch, you are. I'm free from the limitations that I'd previously created and accepted. To be more precise, I am free from what I call the ego mind identity. Now, I want to give you all a heads up if you're reading along, if you're listening, or if you're going to do the Patreon $5 a month so you can help me get out of debt. He's going to talk about the ego mind identity a lot. It's very important. So just have it in your head. The ego mind identity. I am free from what I call the ego mind identity. This is basically just a heads up. This is the source of all your problems is the ego mind identity, which throughout this book, I will call the egoic identity. That is the false belief-based I that simultaneously identifies itself with the physical body. In a cosmic instant, I gained an entirely new understanding of self, ill health, healing, and what we accept as so-called reality. I mean, sign me the fuck up. That's why I do mushrooms. But if you can get that without doing mushrooms, way prefer that route. I understand that the self, which is the screen of consciousness and whose fabric is our individual depth of love and wisdom, is what I eternally am. It's what we all are, love and wisdom, along with a complement or body of energy we are given. This energy, this is important, this energy we are given, like gas in a gas tank, is what we use to create things like thoughts, emotions, physical actions, and experiences. And I look, a lot of people, a lot of authors or like motherfuckers on Instagram, there's a lot of people now saying like, this is how it all works. And I know that I think you're right to be skeptical. I think you should be skeptical. I think it's a sign of like emotional intelligence to be a little skeptical. But all I ask of you for this ride, for this journey in this book, have an open mind and be curious and go, maybe everything he's saying is true. Maybe it's not, but maybe it is. This motherfucker healed himself from being on death's doorstep. So I would say we should maybe listen to this motherfucker respectfully. The physical body is just a temporary vehicle for consciousness. And if you've been listening to Voices in Our Heads for a long time, you'll know I have one of the episodes is titled Your Body is a Rental Car. It totally is. You are not your body. I am not Christina Hutchinson. This is just the role I'm playing in this incarnation, which is so helpful because when I'm stressed, this is the tip he's going to give you later on. But when I'm stressed, I go, who is stressed? Me. Who am I? I don't know. I don't fucking know. And then it kind of instantly alleviates all the tension and anxiety going on in your brain because you are not those feelings. Because who observes all that tension and anxiety? You. You cannot be what you perceive. You are the one who perceives. Bitch. Okay. Thank you. The self or sentience, along with the complement of energy it is given, is what I call the total self. In other words, what we have always referred to as the soul is actually two very distinct parts. Sentience, which is what we really are, and the complement of energy we are given to create with. That reminds me, there's this video that went pretty viral of a medic helicopter taking off after picking up somebody who had been in a really severe car accident. And in the video, this video is kind of old, so I don't think it's AI. I don't know how you could tell. This is way before the AI conversation was even being had. You saw, as the helicopter got taken up, you saw this beam of light go up from the helicopter, like a little pshh. And the medics in the actual helicopter had reported the patient had died, 10 seconds into takeoff or 5 seconds into takeoff. That video is so incredible. But I'm like, dude, that's the sentience. The body's dead. So it's like, time to go back over to wherever. And I got to do a new body. And we got to do it all over again. That's why I'm really trying to master this time around. So I don't got to come back here. No offense. When the total self is directly experienced, the door to higher consciousness and the greater reality, both of which exist within you, but beyond our sensory perceptions and finite mind, is flung open. Oh, it's so exciting. Working with your higher consciousness for healing. You too will discover your own higher consciousness through this book. And this tangible realization will begin to liberate your body of energy from what it's holding on to, like ill health and sickness. Our consciousness is the gateway to the greater reality. This is what I did and why I know we are free. Everything we need to heal ourselves is at our command. It's so exciting. So when I say that you possess everything you need to heal yourself, I am certain of this. The self and its complement of energy is the cure for all that ails humanity. I mean, thank God there's a fucking cure. Thank God. But don't believe me. Experience it firsthand because that's the only way we ever really know anything. And I love that. I never trust an author that doesn't encourage you to be skeptical of what they're saying. Okay? Directly experiencing the self, your own higher consciousness, and the greater reality will require you to suspend judgment and disconnect from the limitations that the finite mind creates by thinking. The ego mind identity is the enemy, basically, enemy number one. And the thing that it does that makes it the enemy is thinking. Thinking is resisting. This is a really, and it's a, I'm still getting used to that concept, but I feel in my bones that it is true. Like when I sit down to write and I'm like, I gotta write a funny joke. I'm trying too hard. But when I just sit down and get out of my own way, shit comes through. It's pretty cool. Your consciousness is an individualized or biological blueprint of the multiverse, and we make a holographic impression upon it with every single moment of our existence. No pressure. Like a box inside a smaller box, all of our individualized consciousness is nested within the creative consciousness, which is within the consciousness of the creator. I don't know if he's religious. I sometimes refer to the creator, source, instead of God, because the word God has become politicized. What hasn't? And is associated with so many inaccurate meanings and intentions. Source, as I directly know it, created our higher selves, which created our souls, which explore the physical universe by having the human experience. That's pretty much how it all works, guys. I mean, let's be curious and wonder, maybe that's how it all works, but I'm pretty sure it's how it all works. The same creator, source, or God always provides everything we need. Lack is but a concept born of limited understanding. That's cute. I love that for us. Contrary to popular belief, source, God, creator does not judge us. And that's, I knew that. I knew when I was growing up and I wasn't religious. That's one thing I'm very thankful for. And then all these people around me were Catholic, they were Christian, they were I was going to say pescatarian, Protestant, probably pescatarian too. I was like, you guys, and they would use it to judge. And I'm like, that's wrong. I just know it's wrong. I don't even know what religion is yet. And I know that's wrong. We do that to ourselves and each other. Source unconditionally loves us always. It learns about itself through its creations, just as our higher self learns about itself through us. And we learn indirectly about the self through our creation, the belief-based egoic identity, and the temporary physical body. Temporary is the key. Hold on, I need some water. This is not a thought or belief, but something to experience directly. Speaking of thinking, we don't need to think in order to do things we do on a daily basis. We see a chair and we remember how to sit. We see a drinking glass and we recall how to drink from it. 99% of our daily existence falls into this category, memory. Ooh, tell me more. Thinking is actually a bad habit that keeps you perpetually locked in the past because thinking is the movement of the past. And that's mad true, y'all. Thinking is the movement of the past. Don't live in the past, baby. Live in the present. It's revisiting memories, experiences, and what has been learned. The so-called future is always based upon the past. And therefore, what we call the future is nothing more than a limiting mental concept. Thinking is faltering because it is a byproduct of experiencing a low-frequency environment, which is Earth. Okay? The Dolores Cannon is somebody I've watched a lot of YouTube videos on. And what she does is pretty out there, but there was one video where she's like, and I resonate with a lot of what she says. One of the videos, she was like, Earth is one of the hardest planets in the whole universe to incarnate on. So when you choose to incarnate on Earth, you are brave. And I was like, thanks, Dolores. I needed to hear that. When we experience the higher frequencies and dimensions, and I will show you how to do that, utilizing our higher consciousness, we know. When we experience the lower frequencies of the physical universe, we lose direct access to the self, internal knowingness. So instead, we think. I love that. When we raise our personal frequency, we raise our level of awareness and understanding about the total self and our surroundings. Raising our frequency is like being given a ladder to peek over at a maze. As soon as we can peek over the walls, we don't need to figure out how the way out because we see the way out. Like a bolt of lightning in that moment of recognition, we know. This provides a profoundly deeper and more holistic perspective. This action is the direct engagement of our sentience, the self. But in the lower frequencies, we're still wandering around in our maze, trying to think our way out of it. It's thinking itself that prevents us from acquiring the latter. And it's thinking that limits us to being merely human, which we're not, boys and girls, nays and thems. We're more than that because we're fucking sentience. Thinking is not knowing. And it's a progenitor of is always beliefs. While thinking misuses energy to revisit the past in order to project a future of limitations, imagining and creating uses our complement of energy to make something new. When we're operating within a defined parameter, our creativity is limited to those parameters. Applying what we've learned is a severely limited form of creativity, if it is one at all. If a hammer is the only tool we know how to use, we see everything as a nail. Ooh, I love that for us. If a hammer is the only tool we know how to use, we see everything as a nail. Well, goddamn, RJ. In order to evolve consciousness with the greatest efficacy, we must experience freedom from what we think we know, which means leaving the past and its future. Sounds fun, because my past and my future, I don't like thinking about that. Now, not through a past or a future, is how we access the timeless depth of the immortal self through its eternal wisdom and limitless imagination. This simultaneously gives us access to the greater reality as well. This is how the ATFHT was born. And this is how you will liberate, repair, heal, and greatly improve the quality of your life. And let me remind you again, you do not have to be paralyzed from the chest down with all these diseases, one of which is super rare, only 65 people have and they die from it, in order to benefit from this book. Maybe I'll use it. I was going to try to experiment and see if I could stop my gray hair from coming in because it's a real pain in the ass to get my roots done all the time and it's really expensive. And that was like a fun little thing. But maybe I'll fucking see if I get rich. The instant you stop thinking, you'll disconnect from the limiting beliefs you have about yourself and the world. In that inner spaciousness is where the freedom to repair and heal yourself exists. I will show you how to disconnect from the self, its misidentification with a physical body, and your belief-based egoic identity. This is how all true liberation and healing occurs. Only in the freedom from the past or future does our experience of the majesty of life directly happen. But that's just the beginning of our journey. While learning to repair and heal yourself, you will unfurl your consciousness and rediscover higher intuitive functions. The you that you thought you were will disappear. Thank God. You know, thank God. Because, you know, we all want a fresh start. I think that's one of my main addictions is a fresh start. I love a fresh start. And this sounds like a good fresh start. Okay. The you I thought I was would disappear. Thank you. Merry Christmas, Christina. Happy Hanukkah, because you're half Jewish, but you didn't know that until 3 years ago. And what you eternally are will be experientially known. The statement, all healing takes place within, is an ancient truth, not a New Age adage. It's the self that commands tangible transformation, and subsequently, your body of energy experiences repair and healing. Authentic healing never originates, nor does it take place, in just the lower frequencies of the physical reality. This is why what passes as medicine today is not curative. Okay? Are you listening, doctors? It's like constantly drying up your flooded basement while the leak is upstairs. That's what going to the doctors feels like, gotta be honest. I have way too many people in my life that have told me horror stories of going to the doctor and them either not believing their symptoms or going, I don't know. And then they themselves, a non-doctor, figured it out. And that's no shade towards doctors. Y'all work hard. Too hard. You work too many hours. You need more sleep so you can enjoy your job better and be better at it, okay? I want that for you and us. When you stop blocking your own inherent divine energy, you simultaneously experience better health, greater joy, fulfillment, and inner peace. I mean, thanks. That's the things that I want. You're not who you think you are. Our vulnerability to illness is due to our lack of direct, tangible self-awareness and having full command of our body of energy. Yeah, because I think I mentioned this a while ago. When RJ was in that hospital room, he protected the energy of that hospital room like I've never seen. He wouldn't allow his partner at the time in when she was going through something really tough, because he's like, gotta be honest, don't want your bad energy in here. It's gonna fuck me up. And like, he was just so insistent on only certain nurses are allowed in, only certain doctors, and only at certain hours. I need the lights a certain way. And then, you know, to the outside eye, they're like, wow, you're so particular, RJ. Well, cool. He's healing himself from chest down paralysis. What did you do today, Barbara? Oh, you tweeted something and it got a like? Neato. This includes the belief that we are the physical body and the belief-based egoic identity. We are easily fooled by this illusion because we constantly rely on the human vehicle, its five senses, and its belief-based thinking. Eventually, we lose the immortal self due to misidentification with the temporary human experience. Our misidentifications have a cumulative effect. Every belief, thought, emotion, and experience that we identify with further perpetuates a lack of self-awareness. And this creates greater disharmony within ourselves and with each other. And I just think of, like, you know, all the advice emails we've ever gotten over the years. A lot of times people will just be stuck in this like, we got an email the other day for guys we fucked where it's like this woman and her partner have been together for a long time. They don't want to get married. They don't like the idea of a fancy wedding, but her father has dementia and she's kind of contemplating, like, shit, should I get married so he can, like, walk me down the aisle before he, like, completely forgets shit? And it's like, you don't have to get married. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do all these things that are expected of you. And it sucks that, unfortunately, it feels good to do things that are expected of you sometimes, maybe if you're me, because then everybody goes, yay, Christina, you're a good girl. And you're like, I am a good girl, right? But the real act of bravery is doing what you want to do, sticking to your morals and values, and not caring what other people think. That, my friends, is sexy as hell, okay? Our misidentifications have a cumulative effect. Okay, this occurs because we do not know how to break free from this temporary limiting condition. Most people believe they're a physical body and identify with its physical sensations, emotions, thoughts, and experiences. Guys, if something happens to your body, it didn't happen to you. It happened to a little meat sack vehicle that you rented this time around, okay? But we are none of those things. We give birth to these things as a creator being, but we are not these things. We are the awareness of all that is perceivable and the eventual understanding and mastery of this process of creation itself. What I saw and experienced when I was permanently paralyzed is that the human experience is but a temporary creation for sentience, the self, to evolve itself, and that a human's perceivable reality is less than 0.003% of the greater reality. Guys, remember those projectors that your teachers would use in school back in the 90s and the early 2000s? Think of like everybody walking around, and instead of a head, it's just a projector. It's just one of those 90s projectors. Like we experience the world through our very specific glasses that are informed by every second of our life from the moment we exited our mother's body to now. But we can leave all that behind, baby girl, okay? We just gotta like disconnect to better navigate our infinitely larger playing field, our higher consciousness, and the greater reality. The comprehension of the following terms is vital as they pave the way for a new paradigm. Let's learn some vocabulary words before we exit. I know I've been doing 44 minutes, so we're just going to do this real quick. Energy, the pure life force itself, or what has been referred to as the Holy Ghost or Chi. The Holy Ghost, really? It simply is. It flows, and it represents the infinite potential of limitless possibility. That's energy. Now on to sentience / the self, what we really are. Timeless wisdom and unconditional love, a fractal of God or creator or source or whatever you want to call it. Soul / the total self, sentience plus a body of energy to create with equals the total self. Bless you, Michael. Our sentience manipulates its complement of energy in order to animate the body and create thought, emotion, action, behavior, etc. Humanity has previously lumped these two separate elements, sentience and energy, into one thing and referred to them as the soul. Now onto the higher self / totality. I love vocab words. Remember flashcards, guys? You can do flashcards for your vocab words. This is the much larger being that we, our soul's total self, is but a drop of. Our higher self is literally everything we have been, are, and will be. It is truly our totality. This incomprehensibly massive body of sentience and energy exists well outside of space and time. As an analogy for incarnating, you can imagine an octopus, which is your higher self, totality, dipping one of its tentacles, the total self or soul, deeper into the water to experience what that specific level of water is like. Now onto the physical body / genetic entity. This is the human vehicle that our genetic entity. It is the perceiver and experiencer of our physical universe. The physical body protects the sentience or self and affords it the temporary experience of physical reality. Nobody takes their physical body with them when their incarnation is over, because we are not the physical body, nor do we need it except for incarnation. It is only needed to explore the lower frequencies of the physical universe. Think of it as the diving bell a deep sea diver must adorn prior to diving into the deep water for the work needed to be done. I use the term physical body throughout because it helps to separate misidentification with the body as being who we are. The physical body is like the car we drive. Your body is a rental car. The car is the vehicle. It isn't who we are, but rather something we temporarily get inside of that gets us from point A to point B. Similarly, every car suffers wear and tear from its multiple drivers and total mileages. And if it's Christina driving her Mustang with all of her road rage, it really has some wear and tear. It works the same way, except on a significant deeper way. Think genetic hereditary traits that we inherit that I will explain later in detail. And now the last vocab word, the ego / egoic mind / ego mind identity. The ego mind identity is the belief-based human character that the self creates through its cumulative misperceptions, misunderstandings, and misidentifications. It is the who we think we are and has been referred to as the ego, the ego mind, the egoic identity, the false self, the shadow identity. More accurately, the belief-based egoic identity is a limitation program that runs by thinking, okay? Thinking is the fuel for the ego mind identity, okay? Jeff Gordon has his race car, and the pit crew puts thinking into his car so he can continue being an ego. Is that okay? I'm going to stick to RJ's metaphors. Yeah. Sentience. Yeah, I was halfway through. I bailed. Sentience, what we really are, knows and loves. The egoic identity, the false character we create, only thinks and feels in context to its beliefs and attachments. All suffering is the domain of the egoic identity. All completeness, happiness, peace, and power resides outside of the assumptions, ruminations, and projections the egoic mind identity creates. Essentially, our life on Earth is a temporary experience that was set in motion when our higher self, with its built-in directive for its own self-evolution, projected a piece of itself, the total self, almost like a drone into the lower frequencies of the physical universe, thus enrolling us into what is known as the evolutionary cycle. Our individualized evolution as a projection from our higher self or totality mandates our continual rebirth until the requisite sentience, love and wisdom, is accrued in order to evolve past the need to incarnate. And that's what I'm trying to do this lifetime. Boy, I want to do it so bad. I want to evolve past the need to reincarnate here again, because this planet is real tough and it makes me sad and mad. But we first must transcend the frequencies. Each time we incarnate, the total self slash soul temporarily merges with the physical body, and in this low frequency environment, consciously cuts off from our higher self and its creator. It begins to misidentify with the physical body and its limiting sensory realm perceptions. These woefully incomplete perceptions are the tiny data stream that creates the finite mind, which forms beliefs, thoughts, opinions, judgments, and so-called knowledge. Ooh, shots fired, RJ. Love that sass. Every time the self misidentifies with a belief, thought, emotion, action, or experience, it becomes part of the egoic identity. We hold this limitation, this false sense of self, in place like an energetic prison for our consciousness and body of energy. And we perceive every experience we have while incarnate through the lens of this limitation. More accurately, as limitation. But girl, you ain't the limitation, okay? This false self, your belief-based egoic identity, is self-imposed delusional state born of your misperceptions, misunderstandings, misidentifications. These are all limitations and not what you are at all. You are not the character you have created. Isn't that great news? Such good news. The painter is not the painting. Love that. You, sentience, are complete, divine, immortal, and free. I know you might find that hard to believe, but you are, okay? You, as an immortal creator being, have simply created your own limitations. I mean, guys, that's fucking fantastic. The painter is not the painting. Are you fucking kidding me? And so the next couple sections of this chapter, you don't have sentience. You are sentience. I'm going to read that. The I that isn't you, your higher mind's imagination, physical reality is temporarily tangible. I'm going to read the rest of chapter one on patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. You can sign up for $5 a month. Just five. And you can hear the rest of that chapter. You can also hear the audio from my group Zoom therapy sessions. And that's everybody coming on and sharing whatever the hell is going on in their life. We talk about some really intense shit. And I got to say, I'm getting really good at inserting humor when appropriate, because I think a lot of times, especially with like suicidal depression, if you can get a laugh in there, you're good. You're good. And I'm pretty good at that. And somebody talking about, you know, being super depressed just doesn't make me uncomfortable, because that's what I grew up in. It's my comfort zone. Yay. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. Have a great day. And just a reminder, you are not your stress. You are the person who notices your stress.